Come with us down the rabbit hole.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
As we explore the odd and esoteric.
If my answers frighten you, then you should cease asking scary questions.
This is the AU Radio Underground Files.
Darkness descends upon the world. The days stretch into seemingly endless night. A full moon looms upon the horizon, illuminating shadows moving in the dark. Don't worry, it's not monsters, it's just us, the Underground Files. He's never met a bonfire that he didn't like. Joining us this week is Hal. Hi, Hal.
Hello.
Speaking of bonfires, don't ask her what's in her fire kindling. It's Joy.
It's just spoopy stuff. It's fine.
He doesn't quite understand why we're all so obsessed with this stuff, but he sticks around anyway. It's Travis. Hi, Travis.
That's me.
Me. I'm just here for the free food. I'm Hannah. These are the Underground Files. And this week, the wheel keeps turning. We're picking on the wheel of the year.
Aww.
I know. You know, this is something that's... We've talked about a lot of these traditions independently as they've come around on the calendar, a lot of these celebrations and stuff. But the Wheel of the Year holds a very special place of anger in my heart. And so I figured, you know, Samhain begins tomorrow, and it would be a good time to rant about the Wheel of the Year.
Good time for it.
Starting with the fact that it is Samhain, not Samhain.
It's not Samhain!
It's like, Irish, guys.
It's Irish. There's a reason it looks like someone threw up. But, you know, not to insult any of our Irish or Gaelic-speaking listeners, I'm just saying, you know I'm right.
I've been trying to learn Irish for like 3 years. It's very hard.
Dude, even knowing like the base amount of like just from like listening to you describe Irish words and stuff, there's some words that I look at and I know how to pronounce parts of them, but all of them together I can't figure out how to say it, and I know that it's probably like one syllable when it looks like it should be five.
It's kind of like French. I'm not gonna lie.
It's So, for those of you tuning in who maybe don't know what the Wheel of the Year is, there are various different wheels, like year wheels, all across all different kinds of traditions. But the specific one we're talking about is the Neo-Pagan Wheel of the Year, which came into being with the religion of Wicca in the 1950s. And while I do think that there are some good things about the Wheel of the Year in that it gives you a good jumping off point, it's really problematic in the way that it was created to me.
So do you want to know what I found out? Something I absolutely did not know, because I had heard that it was created in the 50s and 60s during, you know, when Gardner was building the Wiccan movement, movement. But I found out in the research I did that it was actually first suggested by Jacob Grimm in 1835 in his work Teutonic Mythology.
So yes, he actually did mention a Wheel of the Year in that. In that book, excuse me, my brain just was like, what was the thing? It was words on a page. However, it was a slightly different version. If I remember correctly, I don't remember which ones he used. He specifically had either the solstices and equinoxes or the fire festivals. I don't remember which one. But the Wheel of the Year that Wicca uses combines the two.
Yeah, it smooshes them together.
But yes, no, that is a fascinating fact, because it did originate in the 1800s, and then it was expanded upon by the neo-paganist movement that led to the creation of Wicca.
Which I thought was pretty fascinating, actually.
It's really fascinating, and actually the creation of the Wheel of the Year is really fascinating to read about. The reasons they chose the names that they did. There's actually several celebrations on the Wheel of the Year that were named by the neo-pagan movement. I believe Lithia, Mabon, and Imbola, or no, Lithia, Mabon, and Ostra were actually ascribed their names by the neo-pagan movement. They weren't actually the names of the celebrations that take place on those days.
I was going to say, at least one of those was based on the actual name of the goddess.
Yeah, Ostra.
Yes.
So, I actually have that written down. Hold on. Where is she?
Yeah, and those actually, I think, got included from what I read, specifically because Jacob Grimm, his Teutonic mythology was predominantly about Germanic myths. And so those were some of the things that he covered
so,
in his.
So Ostra was really fascinating to me because it's not the Celtic, it sounds Celtic, but it's actually the Old English spelling of the Celtic goddess of spring.
Oh, see, and I found that she was reading the stuff again from Grimm's work, was that she was also an old High German Germanic goddess.
I mean, there is admittedly some overlap.
From what I understood, he took the old High German form of the old English goddess's name.
Yeah, there used to be, or is still, I didn't actually look that up, a Germanic month that bears her name, or used to bear her name.
Which is also, Lithia was based on, which is the summer solstice, was named after the old Anglo-Saxon version of the months that it portrays. So it was like Era Lithia or something like that was what they called July-ish.
June, actually, before, because it means first summer or before midsummer, something to that effect. Yeah. The old High German is Bramodan, Manode. I took German and I cannot pronounce it. It's just weird.
So like, Lithia specifically, there isn't actually any summer tradition or, you know, summer solstice traditions called that, except in the wheel of the year kind of thing. It was based off of the midsummer solstice and midsummer celebrations from various parts of kind of the northern European areas.
Yeah, it's proto-West Germanic, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Where that name comes from.
And then Lammas, which is one of the harvest festivals, is actually just, like, there is no other celebration, really, that goes with it. They just wanted another harvest festival to celebrate. They wanted to have three harvest festivals. And so they just added one.
Well, plus with the way the houses have split up for that, too.
Yeah, because there's, like, four what they call Sabbaths, which is another whole problematic thing that, you know.
Yeah, but based whatever. On the solstices.
So the Sabbaths are based on the solstices and equinoxes, and then the other ones, because it's eight in the traditional wheel of the year, the other ones are based on the Celtic fire festivals.
Okay, I see. I'm following.
So the part of it comes from very heavily Anglo-Saxon, and I know a lot of people combine the Anglo-Saxon and Celtic traditions just in their heads, but they were very separate entities back in the time when these festivals started. So it's Anglo-Saxon mixed with Celtic. And then there's also some Norse wrote in
there. Yeah, from the old Icelandic calendar.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is a whole nother kettle of fish. My biggest issue, I think, with a lot of these things is, I'm going to take Yule, for example, because Yule's the one that does it the most to me. When you look at how they portray Yule in the winter solstice in the Wheel of the Year, they lump it together with midwinter and Saturnalia and a bunch of other winter solstice celebrations from all over. And these are very distinct and regional specific celebrations. And the way they portray them in the Wheel of the Year is just, oh, they're all the same. You can call it whatever you want. You just celebrate it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's really problematic. I think the Wheel of the Year is a fine jumping off point to be like, oh, I want to celebrate a midwinter, a solstice thing. Let me research, you know, what happens around Yule, and then go and research. But it doesn't ever go into depth on the origins of these traditions and where they came from and all of that stuff. And I think that's my biggest sticking point with it and the reason why I just rage about it all the time.
That's fair. It's a good place to start doing your research, but at that point, you'd probably be able to find stuff that's more relevant to you as an individual at that point, as opposed to...
Well, and the other thing, right, for pagan traditions that you have to think about is if you believe in pagan pantheons, if you believe in the pantheons of pagan gods, crossing pantheons can be very problematic because some of the Roman pantheons, the Greco-Roman pantheons, traditionally didn't get along with the Celtic gods. They were warring cultures. And if you try and force, you know, if you try and honor two different deities from those two different pantheons, they might not like that.
There is no possible way that could go wrong.
No possible way that could go wrong. And then there's also the fact that some of them are based heavily off of the Norse traditions. And that brings in a whole nother thing. So it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, just looking at Yule, if you look at the Icelandic version, which we covered in a Patreon episode, you're looking at Gryla, who's the giantess who likes to eat mischievous children. You have the Yule cat, who is also, you know, just hanging around waiting to eat people who haven't gotten new clothes to wear before Christmas Eve. And then you have the Yule lads.
And
they have nothing to do with the Germanic version of Yule.
Wicca in general, I don't want to poop on anybody's religious beliefs because I think there are some really, really good concepts in Wicca that can lend to a lot of really, you know, deep spiritual stuff. But Wicca was created in a very, very cultural appropriative kind of way. It just grabbed what it wanted and didn't care about the traditions and didn't really apply any of it to itself. And that shows most heavily in the Wheel of the Year.
Yeah. And I mean, it really was, I think it really is hard because so many pagan beliefs were subsumed into Christianity and diluted. And especially if you go back to like Saturnalia and some of the Roman stuff, we have some writings about them, some better than others. But after that, it gets really diluted because the conquerors are the ones who are writing the quote unquote history about druids and things like that.
Oh, and absolutely.
They're heavily romanticized also, which does make it kind of rough.
Well, and that's the whole thing with the neo-pagan movement is trying to reclaim so much of what was lost, and so much was lost, which is just unfortunate.
Yeah. And I mean, it's seen too in how difficult it is. I have done some reading previously on very specific, like, Reconstructionist pagan traditions, and there's a lot of digging you have to do to trace things back and to untangle, like, some of those actual traditions from, you know, the way everything is written in the history books.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and that's one of the things where I approached this very cautiously of it's very problematic to me. But I think it's mostly because I have put so much time into researching for this podcast, for me personally, all of this stuff, these different traditions. And I have seen how, like, the similarities that they share, but also the distinct differences that they have. And then to see somebody just kind of lump them all together and go, no, they're all the same. I don't like it.
Yeah, well, it does make it difficult to share any new information that is actually found through archaeology or you know, any other discoveries, because they're in most people's head, it's Beltane is this, and therefore anything outside of what we see as the norm from the 60s through the 80s, mm-hmm, when it solidified, there's a lot of pushback when you come down to, hey, we found a new trove and this is what we discovered.
Yeah, well, and I've seen it a lot with Samhain, where, like, people who are from Celtic countries, like, people who have grown up celebrating Samhain specifically, will in this era of technology, come out and be like, oh, hey, this is something we do on Samhain. This is a traditional thing to do. And they get these people who it is part of their actual culture, where they live, get pushback from the Wiccan community because it doesn't match what they know.
Right.
And that's kind of where that appropriative aspect of it comes into me. Like, I'm fine if you want to just celebrate Samhain exactly like Halloween and pretend that it's the exact same thing. That's fine. But if somebody whose actual culture it is comes forward and goes, no, hey, this isn't right, you don't argue with them about it.
Right. Yeah. Just like, they don't understand, like, they carve turnips. The whole pumpkin thing is absolutely an American thing.
And oh my gosh, I can't imagine. Turnips are so hard to carve.
Well, and the turnips that they're talking about are more like our rutabagas. So they are round, a little bit larger, and it's still not easy to carve. I've tried it. But yeah, when we think about turnips, we think about the carrot type, which is parsnips, I believe, over there. But yeah, when they say
parsnips,
they mean like our rutabagas, which makes it a little bit easier to understand.
Okay.
And oh boy, do those things look horrifying when they're
I have seen some pictures, and I actually don't have enough energy to do it this year because I have been working way too much. But like, I was really tempted to actually carve one of those this year. I think that would be so much fun. We should have a carving contest at some point.
We should. We should have a turnip carving contest.
They're really great when they start to kind of desiccate and turn into little shrunken heads.
They look so spooky.
They're so spooky. And I don't know. It's part of... It's just looking at different traditions. And just saying, yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah, which is really hard.
However, I will give it that it has made access to these semi-lost traditions much easier. It has made it much more mainstream, which is a good and a bad thing sometimes. Because, you know, before, if you talked to somebody about Beltane, they'd be like, what is that? What are you talking about? I have no idea what that is. And now you're like, oh yeah, we're having a Beltane fire. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh cool, I've heard of that. Even if they don't know what it is, they've heard of it.
It's really strange. I was very surprised to see how quickly May Day rituals died out as soon as you get away from Europe, because they're still celebrated heavily all throughout Europe, and May Days are super important. I mean, cities all over Europe do them. But yeah, the minute you leave Europe, it's like that's one of the first things that dies out.
Which is so sad, because May Day is so much fun. Although I will say I like the, I'm not going to say it right because it's German, the Walpurgisnacht.
Oh, Walpurgisnacht?
Yeah, that one. I can't say it. I can't speak German at all.
It's nice to see that there's a much more accessible frame of reference for a lot of this, if nothing else.
The other thing that is specifically tied, so it's not like specific to Wicca. It's another one of those things. There's a lot of cultures that do it, but Wicca just incorporates a bunch of aspects of it without separating them culturally, is the whole death and rebirth of the goddess and the god and, you know, all of that stuff.
Ooh, yeah, the Oak and Holly King. That's actually my favorite part, I think.
Yeah, the Oak and Holly King. Well, and there's other Celtic traditions with the Horned King, and they are different deities in these traditions. But so much has been lost of these, you know, old cultures that it's easy to just wrap them all up into the same cloth and say, oh yeah, we're celebrating the cycle of birth and renewal, where, you know, the goddess births the oak, or, you know, Oak King in the summer, and then he ages and becomes the Holly King, and then he dies, and then the cycle of rebirth continues. I think it's so much more fascinating to actually research the divergence of the myths rather than just be like, oh yeah, cycle of rebirth and renewal, it's fine.
Yeah, in some versions, the Oak and Holly King are two different people or flip sides of the same coin, but they fight and then, you know, one retires and one becomes triumphant, and then vice versa, which I just think the stories about them are really kind of cool.
They're so cool. It's so cool.
We don't really have any specific actual I mean, they are very much kind of a, we just took all of these ideas, decided it was semi-druidic, and threw them out there in Wicca. There isn't really any specific proof Oak King or a Holly King, but Sarah Nunos and there's another one, and now I've just lost his name. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's so. I think that's my favorite take out of the combination of the Wheel of the Year has been a lot of the Oak and Holly King stories,
which are super fun. Not gonna lie, I think you and I talked about that a bit on the Yule bonus episode.
I think so. I think we talked about Lou for that one.
Yeah. So, what else you got, Joy?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's cool. A lot of them, Mabon, and such are all kind of centered around standing stones. We don't actually know if anything specifically like that was celebrated around standing stones, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never go wrong with standing stones.
Mabon was another one that didn't actually have the autumn equinox of Mabon didn't actually have a name. It was, again...
that was created in the 1970s by Aidan Kelly.
Yes, it was. Which, I mean, we're humans. We like things with names. Just calling it the autumn equinox isn't nearly as fun as giving it some Celtic-sounding name. Which is... Another thing that bothers me is the traditions that didn't have Celtic-sounding names, they came up with Celtic-sounding names for.
Yeah, because from what I was able to find out, in Celtic belief, Cernunnos goes to the underworld at or around the time of Mabon and then returns during Ostra or Beltane as the Green Man. So... They went ahead and took the stories of Persephone and Demeter and some other Greek stuff and just kind of like squished it together and created Mabon, from my understanding.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Sounds on
well,
par.
And there's also a character in Welsh mythology called Mabon ap Mordun.
Oh, I saw some stuff about that one, yeah.
Yeah, and so... He was a member of Arthur's war band in Arthurian lore.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so they think that that's part of where the name Mabon came from. It means, like, great sun or something like that.
Doesn't surprise me. A lot of the Gardnerian tradition took a lot of stuff from Arthur.
Yeah, which, okay. We're not talking about Arthurian lore today.
That's a whole thing.
That's a whole episode all on its own. I will say, though, I do enjoy celebrating Yule, and I do enjoy celebrating Samhain, and I do enjoy celebrating Beltane.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about different cultural traditions from the Wheel of the Year, because that was my first kind of stepping stone, which is like, I feel like it's a lot of people's first introduction into the pagan culture, and a lot of people just stop there. They just find the Wheel of the Year and they go, hey, this is fine, Wicca is fine, I'm just going to research this stuff, and they don't research it further, which I think everybody should, because it is so fascinating.
Yeah, and we're learning so much more every year as more texts are found, or more just more items that have some symbolism, and hopefully, obviously, we'll continue to learn more stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the fact that the dates for these celebrations on the Wheel of the Year are extremely flexible, which isn't terribly unheard of in pagan traditions, because it's usually like, oh, you know, it spans several days and we celebrate it, you know, after the first full moon or
right, yeah, it's based, you know, on a kind of calendar, yeah, which Easter, you know,
yeah. But there's also, like, in the Western Hemisphere, where the seasons are a little bit different, they flip the Wheel of the Year. They celebrate it on a completely some pagans celebrate it on a completely different schedule. because the seasons are opposite.
I have seen some stuff too with people talking about how to adjust that sort of thing for your local area, which I do think I've always liked the idea of matching your, if you are into the sort of like festival timekeeping in your local area, matching it to how it actually is where you're at.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm just a traditionalist of like, no, it's supposed to happen in October.
That's fair.
It's still October where you are. I don't care if it's not cold. Right?
I mean, it's not going to stop me from celebrating stuff at the same time. But
no, and that's fair. Like, celebrate stuff when you want to celebrate stuff. I don't care. Happy unbirthday to everyone. Right? Time isn't real. It's a construct, everyone. 2020 has proven that.
If we have learned nothing else.
I just want to note during a lot of my research for this, the one thing that struck me as really hilarious is that Christianity covers a lot of these. Samhain is All Souls Eve. Yule becomes Christmas. The one holiday that didn't become a Christian holiday is the autumn equinox. It's just kind of associated with some various saints.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well, and like I said, the autumn equinox, that was one of the ones that they just kind of threw in there too.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones they're like, we need one more like harvest festival, like midway festival that we need to celebrate. Let's just make one in August.
Let's just yeet this out.
Throw it in. It's fine. We'll name it something that sounds really Celtic-y. And it'll be fine. Nobody's going to question it, guys. Except for these, you know, idiots over here in 2020 on their podcast.
Yelling about it
on their podcast.
They're very offended, guys.
Well, yeah, and like, Ostra is Easter. A lot of Christian religions do not, again, you said not so much here in like the States and North America and stuff, but there are a lot of like Catholic traditions that still celebrate May Day stuff.
Yeah.
True.
So I mean it really, really is Mabon celebrates Thanksgiving, basically. Not Mabon. Samhain. It's like Mabon / Samhain. There's a weird it's the wrong date, but it's that harvest celebration. Oh,
I think you're talking about Lou's holiday.
Oh, I might be talking about Lou's holiday. Sorry, my brain is, there's so many names.
His is a harvest holiday for the coming of autumn, and I think it ends up, I'd have to go back and look at the wheel, but I think it ends up around Thanksgiving-ish.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Because there is, so Lammas, even though it happens earlier in the year, it is a harvest autumn festival that is a feast of Thanksgiving for the harvest of grain and bread. And the Christian tradition of Thanksgiving took a lot of elements. Like, it's a very similar celebration, but it does happen earlier in the year. Hmm. That's where my brain was going with that. And then there is a whole bunch of minor festivals that are also technically in the Wheel of the Year. So the Wheel of the Year is the 8 main festivals. But there are minor holidays that get added into it, and those.
Yeah, I think those are Germanic, aren't they? Germanic and
yeah,
or
they're Germanic
Norse.
And or Slavic or Norse. They're like
the mishmash.
Yeah, they have one that celebrates Yggdrasil.
It's like Walpurgis Nacht is one of them.
Yeah, there's winter findings. There's summer findings. There's Vale's Blot. Vale's Blot is a Valentine's celebration.
Aww.
It's a celebration of love. And then there's the feast of Norse words. Inhijar? Okay.
Believe.
I'm ascribing Western pronunciations to non-Western words.
If I remember right, that's the one to honor the dead. I think specifically soldiers and people like
honor kin who died in battle.
Yeah.
And then Germanic holiday of ancestors' blood, celebrating your ancestors, weirdly enough. Who would have guessed? But yeah, there's just so much, and there's so many different traditions shoved into one little disc.
Yeah.
It just gives me whiplash all the time. I'm like,
it's eight different like traditions and such stacked in a trench coat.
Just eight different traditions stacked in a trench coat pretending to be one religion.
Which really, when you think about it, reminds me very much of the Roman calendar. Because if you go and look at like their festival calendar, it's like almost every day has a festival to somebody, and it's just because they just kept collecting gods as they conquered new areas.
It's a little bit excessive.
It's like, oh, God. It's so true though, because that's the mindset behind the Wheel of the Year to me is just, oh, we have access to all of these things, so let's just put them all in one place and pretend like they all go together. It's like building a jigsaw puzzle out of five different jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for the Romans because it allowed them to just say, oh, well, your goddess is just a version of Diana, so we'll
get along. Just
Diana, Mabon, she can have her own festival day on the 3rd.
It's just...
That's pretty much what the Romans did.
Oh, because the Romans were, like, way smarter about it than the church. I mean, the church was very successful, but that's because they killed a lot of people. Fear is a great tactic. But the Romans were super, super successful with it because they didn't try and be like, oh, no, so... Athena and Diana are the same, or Artemis and Diana are the same goddess. They were just like, oh, no, no, no. You have Diana and we have this god. So, but look, we have a celebration for them also. Like, you can celebrate your god. See, it's fine. We're letting you do that. Whereas the Catholic Church was just like, oh, well, we also put candles on trees to celebrate. So, good job. You already worship our god. See?
The Romans just kind of like were like, yeah, no, sure. That's just another face of this person over here.
It's like, you can still call it whatever you want. It's fine. It's cool. It's great. We're down with that. Go ahead. Unless you're Celtic, in which case we're going to kill you.
Well, yeah.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. There's a reason they don't like each other.
Something about refusing to learn numbers and pay taxes.
I mean, we threw a whole boatload of tea in a harbor about taxes, so I can't. We have no room to talk.
We have our own yeeting issues.
Yes.
Accurate. The thing that I'm really interested in, mainly because a lot of these traditions that we hear about, and the traditions in Wicca specifically, like the Wheel of the Year, it's very European. It's very European. And I haven't done research on this really right now, because I pulled up the Wheel of the Year and then just foamed at the mouth for a couple hours about how much it annoys me. But I would be really fascinated to find native traditions, both from North and South America, that coincide with these things, because every religion around the world has stuff based on the equinoxes, because they're super important parts of the year. Everybody knows about the harvest and all this stuff. So I would be really, really interested to hear. Not to celebrate myself, because that's not part of my culture, but I would like to learn about these kinds of things. Like, you know, what kind of harvest festivals or practices did they have in Mesoamerica? That would be fascinating for me. And I know we lost so much of that history, but I know that there are people actively working to relearn it and bring it back. So what I'm saying, listeners, is if any of you know, you should send me a Facebook message on the Underground Files Facebook page about it, because that would be cool. So that's really all I've got for the Wheel of the Year stuff. I don't know if you got more stuff, Joy.
Nope, that's pretty much what I had.
Well, I did want to say, rounding off 2020, that I was right, and the murder hornets are back.
Oh, no.
And I told y'all they'd be coming in the final season of 2020, and they're in Washington.
Aren't they like 2 hours away?
They're 5 hours away. What? They're 5 hours away from us. I don't remember the city that they're in, but it's closer to the Canadian border. So
yeah, it's like Canada. Right over the Canadian border.
Maybe they'll freeze and we'll be fine.
What was that, Travis?
It was just like almost on the border.
Yeah,
above like Seattle and Bellingham and all that.
So in good news, though, they did remove the nest they found. They only found one nest so far. So far,
they set it on fire.
They said that they believe that the removal was successful, and they don't think that there's going to be further issues in that place with them. But I don't trust them. Because we still have 2 months.
You don't trust the scientists or the murder hornets?
Both.
You think they're in cahoots?
Yes, I think that the murder hornets are working with the scientists. The birds work for the bourgeoisie.
We are doomed.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I can't make jokes that get too political on this podcast, so I will just leave it with the birds work for the bourgeoisie. No, so that was my fun news story for the day. I have noticed that this year the cryptids have been very quiet. And I think it's just
because they're smart.
Smart. The scientists that work at the Large Hadron Collider believe that they may be able to make contact with the parallel universe that they think they found.
I saw that. I am fascinated and terrified.
This is not the year
this
for that.
This is not the year for that.
Oh, God.
There was also something about they found a bunch of worms from, like, the Ice Age frozen in ice, and they de-thawed them, and the worms woke back up.
Yeah.
God, that's like tardigrades on steroids.
They're millions of years old.
This is fine.
We need to just stop doing this. This is not the year for this. We just need to let it go. Wait until January. It's fine.
Let the year reset first. Please.
My calendar.
My gosh. You know, maybe the world did end in 2012, and like we're all just kind of at the end part of the simulation now, where they aren't uploading any more patches for it, so everything's just slowly glitching out.
I mean, it would explain a lot.
It would explain so much. Or, my theory was right, and in 2016, when they first booted up the Large Hadron Collider, it forced us into an alternate reality, and that is where we are now. My proof of that is the Berenstain Bears. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google the Berenstain Bears conspiracy and it will tell you all about it.
It's a very deep
rabbit
hole.
It's such a deep rabbit hole. So bad. Oh my gosh. Two things cannot simultaneously exist and yet they do.
Does that mean there's a 2020 out there that like went well?
Yes. I mean, if you believe in the multiverse theory, like theory of reality, then yes. Theoretically, there is... there's a 2020 in which the world actually ends, and there's a 2020 in which the world like was a really great year, like the best year that we've ever had.
God, I wish that.
Why do I keep pulling the bad lottery?
I don't know. I feel like this whole year has been like the reverse tower tarot card.
Yes,
you keep pulling it.
Except you keep pulling it. It's just that. That is the deck. It's just the tower.
It's a very angry deck.
Very angry deck. So bad, but. We wanted to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us and putting up with our Discord podcast madness. We know that the quality has not been as good as you're used to, and we appreciate you sticking with us through all of this pandemic and the madness. This is going to be our last episode until January, so keep an eye on our Facebook, keep an eye on the Patreon. We'll let everybody know when we're planning to come back. We're getting a whole bunch of new studio equipment, so hopefully come the new year we'll be able to record up in the studio again and not over phones on Discord threatening to die because my batteries are running low.
It's so much easier not to talk over each other.
It's when you so much easier other. To. There's yes. so much less editing involved when you can see each other speaking and there's not long, awkward moments of silence.
We're doing our best.
And me sitting over here going, so. We're doing our best. But we couldn't keep doing this without you wonderful listeners tuning in and supporting us. Keep in touch with us on Facebook. Send us your funny conspiracy theory memes or cryptid-related stuff. I'd love to post them on the Facebook or the Twitter page. And we'll catch you guys in 2021, provided that we're still here. And thank you guys for being on the podcast with me and sticking it out through these last couple crazy months. I love all of you, and I'm glad that you're here, because without you, it would just be me screaming into the void about how angry I am about everything all the time.
At least you can yell with company.
At least I can yell with company. With that, go ahead, Joy. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's been a blast.
And hopefully 2021 is equally as fun. I am super looking forward to sitting down with you guys and planning out a full, like, 6 months worth of shows and getting more research time. And, oh, it's going to be so great. I'm so excited for the new year. I can't wait to paint the studio. I don't know why I'm so excited about that, but I'm so excited about painting the studio. And not having to fight with my cats every episode.
They keep trying to jump on the phone.
Yes, one of my cats jumps onto my phone constantly during recording.
She's done it like 6 times. It's ridiculous.
So
obviously she has something to say. Or she's probably getting paid off.
Oh, probably.
By the
she would definitely work for the birds.
That sounds about right.
She's super sus.
Mad sus. Chuck her out the airlock.
Chuck her out the airlock. I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for the night. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you guys for being here. And catch you in 2021.
You've been listening to AU Radio Underground Files. Music is provided by Cubby, purpleplanet.com, and bensound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.
If you'd like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at AU underscore radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as a dollar a month. Thanks for listening.